Hello, welcome to the Healing Secrets of Food Revealed. Today's topic, the weight loss power of dining in an amiable ambiance. I'm Deborah Keston, nutrition researcher and host of the Healing Secrets of Food Revealed, and I'm on a mission to give you the science-backed weight loss wisdom you need to eat less and weigh less without dieting. In each episode, I'll translate cutting-edge weight loss research into actions you can take that can make a real difference in your weight and well-being. Let's get started. You may find today's topic surprising to discover that both the psychological and aesthetic atmospheres you dine in may influence your emotions and, in turn, how much you eat, food metabolism, and your weight and well-being. As a matter of fact, behavioral scientist and my husband, Larry Sherwitz, and I were surprised, super surprised, when we identified the new normal overeating style we call unappetizing atmosphere, and it's linked to overeating and being overweight. Today, we're discussing a pioneering finding, the influence that unpleasant psychological and aesthetic surroundings when you eat have on what I call your, quote, mealtime emotions, and in turn, your weight. Then we'll delve into the antidote to the unpleasant atmosphere overeating style, which is one of the pillars of Larry's and my science-backed whole person integrative eating program. Specifically, we'll discuss how to craft an amiable ambiance, which ups your odds of eating less and weighing less without dieting. Let's start with a very personal, amiable ambiance food fable. This is a very special story of psychologically and aesthetically flavored fare that Larry and I experienced one evening in a snow-laden village high in the Swiss Alps. It's early on a frosty, wintry evening. Larry and I are sitting in a restaurant in Muren, Switzerland, relishing the respite from the icy chill of the snowy winter landscape outside. We're vacationing, taking a break from the reversing heart disease research based on the lifestyle medicine work of Dr. Dean Ornish that Larry and I have been doing with heart patients at medical centers in both Germany and Holland. Scanning the menu, we're feeling as if we're perched on top of the world in a winter wonderland. Because of the locale and season, we're feeling a subtle sense of withdrawal from the world. It is a time of turning inward. To get to this Swiss resort town, we took a slow, squeaky tram up the side of a steep, snowy mountain. Because Muren is so high up and hard to reach, there are no cars here. Instead, the busyness of everyday life is replaced with a special sense of solitude and serenity, and in winter, add the opaque, flat, silent quality that comes with snow. With such winter-inspired feelings in our hearts, we scanned some unforgettable international meals, Swiss, French, Italian dishes, as the powerful scent of a pungent cheese fondue wafted past our table, mixed veggie salads and salad with shrimp, vegetarian strudel with hollandaise sauce, chicken and blueberry sauce with rice and carrots, which is a hard-to-find dish in this region, of Wiener Schnitzel and beef. Veal with mushroom sauce was another option, or perhaps lamb as a main course. The menu was also resplendent with dessert options, from a blackberry crepe and fresh fruit to artisan cheeses and sorbet, an abundance of some local, but mostly French, wines provided a nice option as an accompaniment to the delightful dishes. To be truthful, we don't remember much about what we ate that first night in Muren, But we do recall vividly the feelings, mood, and atmosphere that flavored our dining experience, the soothing serenity of hushed conversation, the cozy comfort of being surrounded by steamed-up windows, the flicker of candlelight on each table, the soothing influence of the scents emanating from the kitchen, and the welcoming warmth of the food we ate. Blended together, all these mood-enhancing ingredients created a particular internal ambiance in both heart and soul as we ate, one that provided a perfect antidote to the icy cold and utter blackness of the moonless winter night that waited for us outside. Our utterly delightful dining experience in Muren, Switzerland, demonstrates what it's like to eat in pleasant, exceptionally pleasant, psychological and aesthetic surroundings. In other words, it illustrates what it's like to dine in an amiable ambiance when both your internal emotions and the external atmosphere are stress-free, balanced, and affable. Here's another side of Larry's and my exceptionally delightful dining experience in Switzerland. What I mean is this. Eating while enveloped in positive emotions and pleasant surroundings is the opposite of the unappetizing atmosphere overeating style Larry and I identify that leads to overeating, overweight, and obesity. In this episode of The Healing Secrets of Food Revealed, we'll focus on the psychological and physical aesthetics of your food and eating life, such as the atmosphere in your home, in restaurants, and at perhaps drive-through restaurants. And we'll also look at the quality of companionship when you dine with family, friends, and coworkers, or by yourself. And we'll also take a close look at the state-of-the-art studies about the surprising but powerful influence the atmosphere in which you eat has on your weight, mind, and body. Then we'll do a deep dive into steps you can take to turn this overeating style into the whole person integrative eating practice of eating in a positive psychological and in pleasant aesthetic surroundings. To begin, let me tell you about Allison, who turned a lifetime struggle with overeating and obesity into a whole person integrative eating relationship to food that enabled her to attain and maintain weight loss. I am especially reminded of Allison now because after she identified her overeating styles with our What's Your Overeating Style self-assessment quiz, she decided the first overeating style she wanted to turn around was unappetizing atmosphere. Her motivation? She knew that spending endless hours sitting in her easy chair in her living room while working at her computer and eating takeout food was a key contributor to her overeating and her weight. Not only would an appetizing, pleasing place to eat get her up and out of her chair, it would help her be conscious of her food choices. After choosing the nook in her home that could serve as her, quote, eating oasis, placemats and plates she found delightful came next. In other words, Allison launched her whole person integrative eating dietary lifestyle by creating an ambiance that's amiable in which to eat. For her, it was a relatively easy but important choice to make to start with this overeating style because aesthetics were a solution that instantly brought her joy. A brief aside, you can find out more about how Allison overcame overeating and overweight, starting with an amiable ambiance, in the research paper Larry and I wrote, published in the medical journal Integrative Medicine, a clinician's journal. Our research on the overeating styles and their antidote, the whole person integrative eating dietary lifestyle, suggests this. To give you a better understanding about how both the psychological and the aesthetic atmospheres in which you dine hold the power to influence your weight and well-being, here's a little more intel about what I mean by psychological and aesthetic atmospheres. Pleasing atmospheres, start with that. Have you ever eaten in an especially pleasant place surrounded by supportive people, convivial conversation, and beautiful accoutrements? Perhaps friends took you to a favorite restaurant for your birthday because they had organized the meal to celebrate you. The evening crackled with joy, camaraderie, and laughter. In the example of this special birthday party, your internal thoughts and feelings while you eat, likely joyous and happy, determine the psychological atmosphere, while the external atmosphere is celebratory and is a source of pleasure. The milieu of your favorite restaurant has an agreeable effect on your psychological state as you and your friends chat over a delicious meal. In response, your heart is open and your soul is singing. Here's an example of unpleasant psychological ambiance. But it's possible your internal psychological state can also be negative, stress-filled, and unpleasant. Please note the definition I use for stress is perceived threat. Have you ever eaten while feeling stressed, frustrated, depressed, or anxious, or during a disagreement with a family member, or perhaps while cooks behind the counter were arguing, or while honking at the driver in front of you during rush hour, or while watching a horror movie or murder mystery on TV? If so, you've had the experience of eating in an unpleasant psychological atmosphere. The surroundings were so hectic or unpleasant that they affected your mind or mental processes in some way, either consciously, for example, when you're arguing with a colleague, or unconsciously. Example, you might not be aware of the impact of a horror movie is having on your psyche or digestive process. An example of unpleasant aesthetic ambiance. The other key component of the unappetizing atmosphere overeating style is the external aesthetic that surrounds you when you eat. For instance, is the place in which you're dining flooded with overhead fluorescent light and loud music? Are you sitting on a hard plastic bench, eating off damp paper plates? Or perhaps you're eating on the run, grabbing a sandwich from the convenience store as you fill your car with gasoline. These are examples of aesthetically unpleasant surroundings. As a contrast, envision a place with an atmosphere that's agreeable to you. Perhaps when you visit the home of a friend, you're greeted by the aromas of freshly prepared food coming from the kitchen, food your friend has made just for you. Perhaps you take a break from work at your local cafe to enjoy the brew that the barista makes for you personally, or soft candlelight makes you aware of a wooden dining table's lovely patina peeking out from pleasant placemats. Whether they're appealing or appalling, both the internal psychological mood and the external physical atmosphere that surround you when you eat may influence how much you eat and the way in which you metabolize food, and in turn, your weight and well-being. Here's more about this newly discovered new normal overeating style. Then I'll tell you about some other fascinating studies that support the link between mealtime emotions, weight, and your physical and mental well-being. When Larry and I took a closer look at the results from the more than 5,200 people who took our Whole Person Integrative Eating online e-course, not only did we discover the unappetizing atmosphere overeating style, we identified 7 unique elements of the unappetizing atmosphere overeating style. And they're especially distinctive because they describe both the external physical atmosphere you dine in, but also the emotional atmosphere surrounding you when you eat. And we also discovered that both the physical and emotional environment work together, either to increase or decrease your odds of overeating and being overweight. We were stunned at this finding. Here are the 7 positive and negative elements of the unappetizing atmosphere, overeating style, or its antidote, amiable ambiance. The positive include preparing a meal or eating in a 1, pleasing, 2, serene, 3, fun, 4, calm, and 5, relaxing atmosphere, while negative attributes involve frequently preparing food and eating the food in a 6, hectic, and 7, tense environment. The bottom line, when people change from eating in an unappetizing atmosphere frame of mind to eating while filled with pleasant emotions in an amiable ambiance, it can help them reduce both overeating and weight. And it's possible to achieve such success by learning and practicing the whole person integrative eating dietary lifestyle. Such findings suggest that the unappetizing atmosphere overeating style, contrasted by its whole person integrative eating antidote, eating in an amiable ambiance, such as the dining experience Larry and I had in Switzerland that I told you about earlier, this tells us that while food technology and what and how and where we eat may have changed over the years, the emotions and kinds of surroundings we need to nourish our soul have not changed. Speaking of which, what happens to your mind and body when the atmosphere in which you eat reflects the unappetizing atmosphere overeating style, in that it is an environment that is jarring to the psyche? When both the psychological and the aesthetic surroundings aren't just unwelcoming and unpleasant, but perhaps overtly hostile. An unusual study done just after World War II offers insights into this question. On June 16, 1951, the prestigious medical journal The Lancet published a study that couldn't be done today. Not only were children involved, but the conditions were so health-threatening, both emotionally and physically, that a modern-day review board would never approve the study design. In 1948, British nutritionist Elsie Widdowson was working at orphanages in Germany, where thousands of students had lost their families in World War II. It was a time of extreme trauma for the orphans, and their suffering was exacerbated by food shortages and rationing. While working at the 2 orphanages, Widdowson was able to observe and record an extraordinary situation that evolved. Her 1-year study started when she decided to monitor and measure the impact of additional servings of food on the children's weight and height. Would those who received extra food gain more weight than those who received rations only? Would they grow taller than children who ate less? To find out, during the first 6 months, Widdowson gave children at both orphanages equal food portions. During the second 6-month period, she fed children at 1 orphanage larger portions of bread, jam, and orange juice. Throughout the 12 months of the study, she weighed and measured the height of the children every 10 days. When Widdowson looked at the height and weight charts, she was perplexed. During the first 6 months, when everyone received equal portions, children at 1 orphanage had gained a lot more weight and had grown much more than the children at the other orphanage. Things became even more confounding during the second 6-month period, when the children who had been fed more food gained less weight and less height than the others. Widowson pondered whether it was possible for children to thrive or not, regardless of the quantity of food they ate. But when she scrutinized the atmosphere in both orphanages, the atmosphere, she got an unexpected explanation for the seemingly contradictory results. Frau Schwartz. The children who had failed to gain weight and grow had been overseen by a strict disciplinarian who chose mealtime to publicly ridicule and rebuke some of them. This explained the difference. Here's what Widowson writes about this. Quote, by the time Frau Schwartz had finished, all the children would be in a state of considerable agitation, and several of them might be in tears. Here is the postscript. When Frau Schwartz supervised another wing of the orphanage, the same dynamic occurred. Children who were upset and agitated during meals were the ones who failed to thrive. Here's why eating while stressed matters to your weight and well-being. Though there are many definitions of stress, I repeat, I'm defining it as a perceived threat to either physical or emotional well-being. When you eat while stressed, your brain releases a torrent of sometimes contradictory hormones, meaning chemical messengers, that put your digestive system in disarray. For instance, to give you stress for fight or flight in response to a perceived threat, your body may manufacture the fat-friendly hormone called cortisol, or CRH, which in turn produces energy-giving adrenaline. And CRH can also suppress your appetite, which is what seems to have happened to Widowson's upset orphans, or it may have the opposite impact. It may produce steroids, which are organic fat-soluble compounds, that can make you hungry and prompt you to overeat calorie-dense foods such as cookies, cake, or potato chips. Think food cravings. In other words, whether the source is internal or external, an unpleasant, stress-filled psychological atmosphere can cause your body to produce hormones that prompt you to eat more, which leads to this question. Why have we human beings been created with an amazingly strong connection between the brain and the digestive system, a relationship so powerful that the stomach and intestines, our gut, are abundant in nerve cells, even more so than nerve cells in the spinal cord? Why has our mind-body been designed to pay such close attention to our internal environment, meaning our thoughts and emotions, as well as our external surroundings, with the ability to respond accordingly? Mind-body medicine pioneer and neuroscientist Candace Pert, who discovered the opiate receptor, the cellular binding site for feel-good endorphins in the brain, gives us some insights. To be more specific, Pert's pioneering work gives us a scientific picture about how environment may influence digestion and increase the drive to overeat. In other words, stress more, eat more. Pert's story starts with substances called peptides, which reside not only in the brain but throughout your entire body. And it is neuropeptides specifically that act as the biological foundation for the awareness we bring to meals. Indeed, the consciousness we bring not only to food and eating, but to all aspects of our lives. What's unique about neuropeptides is this. They're released into the bloodstream by nerve cells. And the link to nerve cells is fascinating because the hormones and other naturally occurring chemicals made by your mind-body create a two-way freeway that serves as a dynamic information network between the brain and the digestive system. Here's what this discovery means to you. Neuropeptides influence your experience of the world and vice versa. Your consciousness or mind, thoughts, and emotions affect your biology. Put another way, your body is strongly influenced by your emotions. Because of this, writes Dr. Pert, quote, the environment in which you eat has a lot to do with your emotional experience at mealtime. Meaning, eat in an unappetizing emotional or physical atmosphere, and, says Pert, quote, it's a kind of disintegration, a mind-body split that will lead to weight gain and disease conditions caused by incomplete digestion. But there's another reason you're likely to eat more and gain weight when you consume food in an unpleasant external atmosphere. It also influences the quality of food, especially high-carb food, and the quantity or amount of food you eat. Researchers discovered this when they asked 30 subjects to watch the movie Love Story, a sad movie that leads people to cry easily and often. As the study subjects watched the film, they ate 28% more buttered salty popcorn than they did while watching Sweet Home Alabama, a breezy comedy. The same researchers found similar results with college students who were asked to read about children who died in a fire. As they read the heartbreaking news, they ate four times more M&Ms than raisins from nearby bowls of snacks. In contrast, when the same students read about a delightful chance reunion among four old friends, they didn't turn to unhealthful M&Ms, but rather to healthful snacks. The message, if you want to eat less and weigh less, refrain from using the dining table as a place to argue or scold or think about unpleasant things. Plenty of situations lend themselves to creating unpleasant and discordant psychological and aesthetic eating atmospheres. Consider this common scenario. Imagine you're driving in anywhere USA and you pull into a gas station. When you get out of your car to fuel up, a sign tells you that you need to pay inside. As you walk past the other motorists filling their tanks, you register the potent smell of petroleum. Feeling a bit queasy from the odor, you walk inside to prepay. Instantly, your nostrils are filled with the scent of rancid cooking oil from the fast food outlet near the shop. At the same time, the harshness of the overhead fluorescent lighting causes you to unconsciously and unintentionally squint a bit. While waiting in line, you glance at the TV on the counter that's blasting bad news, and you're privy to an unpleasant discussion between the cashier and the customer in front of you claims he's been shortchanged. While waiting, you look around to locate the source of the unappetizing aroma, and you realize it's coming from the fast food outlet that shares space with the gas station store. As you continue to wait, you notice a customer eating a burger and fries as he walks out the door toward the car. Given the topic of this episode is the weight loss power of eating in an amiable ambiance, here's the question. Now that you're aware of the subtle assault an unappetizing atmosphere can make on your psyche and the way in which it could impact your digestive system, your weight, your entire being, would you now make the conscious decision to not snack or eat until you're in a more pleasing environment? Here's another emerging area in the health and environment story. The medical community is becoming more and more aware that environment has a profound impact on health and healing. In response, the Optimal Healing Environments movement is gaining momentum. For instance, at the second symposium on optimal healing environments, more than 50 scientists and clinicians were invited to define healing environments and challenges related to creating them. And given Larry's and my research on whole person integrative eating and the discovery of the unappetizing atmosphere overeating style we've identified, the work on healing environments especially captured my attention because it identified elements that are integral to a healing environment. Get comfortable for a moment. There are 13 elements that lead to healing environments I'm sharing right now. They are personal space, 2, sound or noise, 3, temperature, 4, fresh air and ventilation, 5, enjoyable social interaction called social support in the world of behavioral medicine, 6, warm natural light, 7, colors, 8, a view and experience of nature, 9, and arts, 10, aesthetics and environment, such as music. Here's the takeaway. The research Larry and I did on whole person integrative eating revealed the unappetizing atmosphere overeating style was linked with overeating, and research by others supports this discovery. What astonished Larry and me was that, as with all the new normal overeating styles we identified, the unappetizing atmosphere overeating style was statistically significant, meaning that it's not due to chance that when you eat in an unappetizing atmosphere, you're at increased risk for overeating and weight gain. In other words, it's a dependable measure of overeating and overweight. The bottom line, dining in psychologically and aesthetically surroundings can be a powerful determinant of your weight. Wow. With this in mind, consider committing to designing the most pleasant ambiance possible each time you eat and integrate the whole person integrative eating guideline I told you about at the start of the chapter into your everyday life. Eat in a positive psychological atmosphere and in pleasant aesthetic surroundings. As you become more familiar with this concept, you'll have plenty of opportunities to pay attention to and to eat in environments that can nourish both body and soul. After all, most of us know that eating in congenial surroundings is, at the very least, enjoyable. This is good news, since you can even use your imagination to access or create delightful surroundings anytime. For instance, envision a fall picnic surrounded by the colors of the season in the leaves and in the deep orange of pumpkin soup. Or think of the soothing comfort of a homemade stew eaten in winter as candlelight flickers. Here are some practical step-by-step tips to create amiable dining environments. And consider this, create your own nourishing atmosphere whenever possible. So you can reap the rewards of what you discover on each episode of The Healing Secrets of Food Revealed. I close each episode with an in-action idea for you to try. This may be a quick tip about how to implement the healing secret of food we just discussed, or a practical step you can take, such as ordering a size down of your favorite coffee concoction, or perhaps I'll suggest a self-insight exercise, an internal reflection that can lead you closer to achieving your food-related health goals. I'll offer an in-action exercise at the end of each episode that can contribute to your transformation from today's new normal way of eating, which leads to overeating and overweight, to whole person integrative eating, which I describe as your scientifically sound personal guide to eating less and weighing less without dieting. Consider keeping a Healing Secrets of Food Revealed journal to write about your experience with each in-action exercise. Today's in-action exercise is some practical steps you can take to create amiable eating atmospheres. The concept to increase your odds of achieving and maintaining optimal weight, create affable, psychological, and aesthetically pleasing dining milieus as often as possible. Here are three suggestions to get started. Cherish China. When Oprah did a show on anti-aging breakthroughs, a weight loss lifestyle was one of the topics. To highlight the elements of her successful weight loss, an audience member shared her personal success story. Along with moving more and choosing fresh food, she created an aesthetic atmosphere as part of her 22-pound weight loss. Here's what she said. I put my portion of food on beautiful plates with great style, lovely linens, crystal, and china, and enjoyed every morsel, she said. Quote, no more standing in the kitchen eating out of a little container. Whenever possible, eat on quality plates with your best utensils and sit down at a dining table to enjoy your meal even more. Number two, release negative emotions. Thanks to Dr. Candace Peart's research on emotions and digestion, it's safe to say that the psychological atmosphere in which you eat influences the way in which you metabolize food and, in turn, your weight and well-being. That's why you'll find it helpful to release toxic molecules of emotion when you eat. If you find yourself ruminating about something unpleasant, put your emotions on hold and press the pause button as you eat. Instead, think about something agreeable. You can always return to the problem later. Or, if the people with whom you're dining are more negative than positive, try to redirect the conversation by asking them to share something that's working well or is enjoyable in their lives. Number three, a friend of ours who is a yogi told us that after she shared a large lunch in the home of a revered family in India, her hosts invited her to lie down and rest so she could digest the meal in a peaceful and quiet environment. In a time and work-driven country such as the U.S., this isn't a realistic option. But what we can do is a modified version. After eating, take the time to enjoy some easygoing conversation with others, relaxing music, or an interesting article, and 5 or 10 minutes or seconds of relaxing, quiet solitude. To review these strategies as well as some others, please visit HealingSecretsPodcast.com, then open the In Action CTA next to the yellow bulb for episode 16. If you would like a summary of today's In Action exercise, please visit HealingSecretsPodcast.com. Then look for the yellow light bulb next to the In Action CTA. At HealingSecretsPodcast.com, you can also listen to this episode again and read the transcript and my article about the whole person integrative eating mindfulness meal meditation. And please consider joining the Healing Secrets Podcast community, where I'm looking forward to meeting you. I want to thank you for joining me today on the Healing Secrets of Food Revealed. With each show, I'll share step-by-step science-backed insights you need to nourish all of you. Body, mind, soul, and social well-being each time you eat so you can thrive. I'm Deborah Keston, host of the Healing Secrets of Food Revealed. Until next week, be nourished.